Welcome to the Embodied Educator podcast, where we explore the deep connection between body and mind in education. I'm your host, Liz Wientjes, and each episode we dive into how our physical presence shapes the way we learn, teach, and grow. I'll be talking with education experts from around the world, sharing their insights on embodiment in the classroom. Whether you're an educator or a lifelong learner, you'll find practical tools to explore and apply. Join me as we uncover ways to bring embodied teaching to life. Let's reshape education, one breath at a time. Welcome, dear listener. I have a treat for you. Next to the interview with Simon and Simona, I'm glad I also got to find a moment with Marguerite Thierry, who would love to share her experience as being a student in the Improgeneering project. She actually signed up for this Improgeneering program last year as part of her master's in data science. Am I right, Marguerite?
Yes.
Cool. Data science. And in our time together, we are turning the lens around on the experience as participants. So being on the receiving end of this Improgeneering project. So I'm very curious to hear, because we always talk about learning goals and impact of our courses, but do the students actually like it? So I'm going to ask all of that. Marguerite, I also took a look at her LinkedIn page where she wrote the following: I am passionate about the intersection of computer science and human interaction. I've cultivated a mix of technical capabilities and social skills throughout my academic years and professional journey. I learned how to solve problems with mathematical formalism while bringing an intuitive perspective built from my art background. This balance at the heart of my personality and has allowed me to create collaborative environments in various structures: engineering school, big corporation, VC fund, and theater troupes. So it seems like she's blending various fields of and backgrounds and loves this crossover pollination. And it's not just engineering on its own. So it sounds like you've made quite a journey of self-discovery over the last years as a person and professional. So, Marguerite, I can't wait to dive deeper and welcome you on board on this episode for the Embodied Educator podcast. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. So before we dive into the project, what do you think the listener should know about you as being a student? Or you're now graduated, of course, for your master's. But before we dive into this project, what do you think they need to know about either you or a context you work and live in to follow this story about your experience in the Improgeneering project?
Okay. Yes, maybe that I didn't have the traditional engineering education. I started studying in a university with broader disciplines. So I was doing arts and science, and your introduction kind of tell this balance.
Yeah.
And so maybe saying that when I started my master in this engineering school, I felt a bit, not, I was going to say inappropriate or different, but I really realized that I didn't have the same formatting, let's say. Mm. And it was a bit hard to, I was not thinking like everybody else. I felt like my reactions and automatisms were different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like you spoke a different language or something to
yes, to, so exactly.
Yeah, if I'm correct, what I'm hearing you say is you were entering a program that had a lot of engineering students and you are coming from an arts background, which has a very different approach to study and maybe.
Exactly. Kind of, I had to learn the Swiss engineering school language.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And also the Swiss, because you come from, where did you do your bachelor's and where did you come from?
I'm French. I grew up in Paris and then I did my bachelor and started working in Montreal in Canada.
Yeah.
So I was, it's true that I was very challenged by the Swiss culture. I'm kind of an extrovert. And in Canada, it's kind of encouraged to really be extroverted, to speak loud. I did a bit of improv, much improvisation before. So when I arrived, I was kind of loud and didn't really have this Swiss distance and calm. And yeah, so it was all an adventure to
Yeah.
learn to adapt to Swiss and engineering culture.
Yeah, sounds so interesting. And actually, it makes me remind of the book, The Culture Maps. Did you read it? It's yellow on the cover page. Very important if you ask a woman about what car you drive. It's white. It sounds very stereotypical, silly now, but the Culture Map. And it reminds me of, which is actually so interesting. Before we dive into the program, how you enter as coming from this different backgrounds and culture, and also maybe cultural norms that are alive in you. So yeah, so cool to dive in. So that's another layer, I would say, than maybe just on embodiment speaking, than just being a student in the program, also how you're all different. All right, interesting. So you signed up for the Impro Engineering course. What made you sign up? What, why, and how did the process go that you thought, let's try this?
I met all the people I've met, and I liked talking to, and I felt a kind of a connection in our first meeting. They told me about this class. At first, in my first year, I was kind of choosing this. We had to choose a social science or humanity class, which this course is part of. And checking online, I didn't take it. I didn't sign up. It had this this engineering part. I really didn't understand to what Impro Engineering. It's like, do we have to build objects? I was a bit lost. And then in my first year, all the people I met, and I was like, oh wow, this person is amazing. They all told me about that class. So the next year, I signed up directly.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right. Did you regret it?
No. I fight to sign up. I was not supposed to. And no, I don't. It was amazing.
Oh, you weren't
And
supposed to, so you had to
no,
make an
I
effort.
already, yeah. I had to contact many people to be let in. But
Nice.
all the people I met that became friends in my first year that done it the year before me, because we were doing some other kind of improv and theater together, they told me it's amazing, you need to take it. So there was really this positive response from past students.
It sounds like there was this whole wind going around of, it's an amazing program and you should enroll. Yeah. All right, cool. So you did. And
Yes.
I was about to ask you, like, did you have any expectations? But I think, well, it sounds like there was so much word going around. So maybe could you elaborate on what already was the word that went round and what expectations you had starting, and then maybe what you met in the program, if it was different or challenged or...
What expectation? I was on the first class, I was very disappointed because we sat down and we discussed about improvisation, and we were asked what is improvisation, our definition. And I was super disappointed. It's like, are we going to sit down and just discuss improvisation? And we were still very in the head response. Our improvisation and all of the blah blah, kind of very intellectual. And I was like, this is not what I almost unsigned up. And then I built patience. And so I was really looking for this reconnecting with the body. I already had some practice with the body, so I knew what feeling inside me I was waiting for, kind of this confidence and feeling highly present in your body. And not... I don't really like to make always the distinction between the head and the body, but it was kind of making it back to the body and a big circulation rather than keeping it up in the head.
It's so nice.
And
You're
I
also
was
moving like
also
that.
looking.
Yeah, all your gestures are like in flow when you talk
And I
about
was.
that connection. Oh, well, we have our connection is not that fast. So I will hold my responses a little bit more.
No worries. Thanks. And also what I like, so I try to work on my own to work on this connection, but what I found, I love to share it, and I found it so much more powerful when you're in a group, within a group. So I was also having a lot of expectation on this. We're 25, which is a lot, and which is quite 25 students and amazing, and really building this sense of community and trust. Yeah, so I had a lot of expectation, and they were all amazingly met. And I was also quite surprised because, as Simon and Simona mentioned, in the first part of the semester, we really have different people coming and teaching. And in the second half of the year, we build up our performance. And this is something I've never experienced before, thinking about a performance, the scenery, the setting, working together with creating this object and improvising with it. And this was all of a surprise and another way of thinking the performance, including the public and the message, and also very interesting to work with an object and improvisation, because you want the object to allow you things you cannot do without the object. Don't know if that's clear.
Maybe you can explain to the listeners by using the object you used with your group to maybe elaborate a little bit more on what is an object or what could it be and what role, what function does it have in this performance? Even the search to towards the performance, because maybe the object changes over time. I don't know. That might also be the case.
Yes, so the teachers had a lot of trials to help us find an object. No, sorry. But they tried multiple ways through the years to come up with an object. And so this year, they gave us some constraints that was more like a theme. And so then we were put into groups by choosing the object we wanted to work on, like the set of constraints to create the object we wanted to work on. And ours was in English.
Say it in French
So,
first. It's okay.
okay. Énergie potentielle déclenchable. So, potential energy switchable. That's,
Wow.
yeah. So, first thing first, look on Wikipedia, what are the potential energies? Because I'm lacking some physics background. Yeah, tough. Really tough. I discussed it with many people. I remember some riding in the car with my parents and being sitting in the back like a kid and asking them and taking all of their ideas. I was bringing that up all the time during the Christmas vacation to have as many ideas, and what was it? What were people thinking when I told them this complicated potential energy word? And then we discussed it within our group, and we had a couple ideas. One were about first, we wanted to big things, like we wanted to have a stage that was inclinated so we could like run back and forth and make things roll down the hill we would have created.
Yes.
We also wanted something that would go up all the time, like a fixed vertical thing, and something going like or in circles around it and until the top, and kind of stopping it from going from reaching the top during all the performance. Kind of this thing was continuous movement going up, and we would have to prevent it from reaching the top. We went into something way simpler. It's and I realized it was super hard for me to imagine an object from nothing. to really, you have an infinite set of possibilities, and then you have to come up with something. It was kind of hard for everyone, so we decided to try and test with a smaller object, and we tried with something elastic for this potential energy. We find the elastic, so we worked with, I don't know the name in English, sorry, the bike around inside the tire where you put air for bikes.
Mm-hmm. The inner tube.
Inner tube, exactly. We knew some people that work at a bike shop, so we had a ton of inner tube, and we played around with them. We did a catapult in my garden, which was fun, but not really to put on stage. And then we kind of started to think more about what do we want this object slash artifact to bring us? What do we want to be able to do with it that we could not do without it? What can we, it's kind of, what superpower can it bring?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's what we were looking for in the object. We don't want something, we want something that make us ourselves on the stage. And one big thing we tried to work on was the connection between the object and us, and how it could help us be all together in the group, be the five of us. We really tried with different ways to use this inner tubes and other object, but our worry was that it was gonna divide us. And our core focus was like, we want the group, we're five of us, it's a lot to stay in a single group for the 10 minutes of performance. But we had this emphasis that we did not want to split. We want something that bring us together. And so there's inner tubes, we tried to cut them and then do maker, assemble them together to make a big line, elastic line like this. I tried different things. It's funny because the object had a, it came up to have a superpower on its own, but a bad superpower. It created a lot of tensions between us. In all of our rehearsals, we arrived, it was tensions we were fighting during the improv, not fighting directly with our fists, but there was this elasticity brought a big tension all the time. It was quite, it was really high intensity and a bit, I wouldn't say violent, but it was not, definitely not poetic. This object has something with the elasticity, I don't know, fighting between each other, trying to see where it will break, etc. So we kind of had a first, at this, I remember at this time, we kind of liked these inner tubes. We could cut them, play with them, make them have different shapes. It really brought us superpowers in terms of we could be all the fun five of us within an inner tube, have more tension, rely on them, project ourselves. So we kind of had this interaction with the artifact set, but we were missing something. And it's just really late in the second semester that we came up with the idea to have scissors on stage. I remember we had this idea at the very beginning, but then I was like, it's too dangerous. That's not, it's gonna put a constraint on us. It's gonna be too dangerous. But then it really finished the artifact by bringing some, like the tension with the scissor, knowing that the scissor could break the inner tube and the power it contained, it really kind of finished. So it was adding another tension, but also providing a relief, like a way to relieve the tension by just cutting the inner tube.
It sounds like you were fighting boundaries to some extent, and but then also creating new ones with that scissor that you put into the scenery, which is very interesting. Yeah. So what I wonder is, so you have this relationship with the object or artifact that you grow over the years and or over the course, over the months, and then that created also friction and tension and relationship with you and your co-workers, your team you were working with. So how was this group work, was this group work different from other group work you've done before in university? And in what way did you work differently with each other in communicating and getting towards the end performance?
It was different. I would say what was good is that we didn't spend so much time discussing ideas but trying them. And so there was no endless meeting on Zoom. What do we want to do? We always meet physically. We always took quite some time. We had a lot of lunch or just taking the moment together, which was different from other meeting. And then in the way we work, this kind of the only way to validate this idea is to try it. And it's kind of easy to try it. That was really nice compared to other project. And I think there was also
And on the level of relating towards each other as a per oh, that, sorry.
There was more trust. And I would say also it they cannot be okay. I thought at the beginning I thought it was going to be conflictless because we had this training together. We created this big community in the first semester, the 25 other people. We really had this bond and strong connection. Then the five of us, as in every group project, and I thought it was going to be an exception, but it was not. Some tensions started building, not a lot, I will say, but a bit of how to put that. There was still I was expecting to be no leaders doing all the homeworks and all the thing to delivers. I was expecting really to find something really equal and same time of communication, same involvement, because we had this prior group. And we kind of had some people more involved from time to time. So we kind of had these people leading and not a strong five of us just walking at the same rhythm together. We still had this partition. But for conflict I was mentioning, we did not have a lot apart at the end, just before the performance, maybe because of the stress, etc. But the good thing, and I was kind of hoping that it would happen. We can have a conflict, there's no problem. Not hoping that the conflict would happen, but my only stress when I saw that conflict happening before the performance was that we all put it in the performance. There's space for this, what we label negative emotion. There's space to express it on the stage, on the performance. It can bring something. The only thing that you have to have is to have trust to be vulnerable and to express it, to give it, to not take it for you, this conflict, this anger, whatever negative or ugly emotion you can have, you know, because you've trained and you tried how to express this in not a violent or a negative. You know the expression, so this negativeness kind of disappear because you just
Unleashed.
express it, unleash, exactly. And you've practiced how to unleash it in a safe way and with the other people. And so this is radically different from other groups. When tensions arrive, you don't know what to do with it. You kind of, and I'm a very conflict avoiding person. So I'm really fleeing mode. And here, this is not an option. And you also have the tools to solve it. And not necessarily via the talking, the discussing. We didn't have time to solve the conflict via talking, etc. So it really diffused through our performance, through our bodies. And then afterwards, but once everything is unleashed already, one week later, we took some time to rediscuss it, to have kind of this closing group and to leave everything kind of, at peace or say everything, because sometimes you still need to put the words, but you have other option than putting the words. And I feel that was really important because sometimes it's too fresh or it's not clear enough in your head. And so maybe people isolate and then come back together later. But here we were together and we still found a way to solve this conflict and express it. Yeah, the
Yeah.
performance, yeah, the body. Yeah.
That sounds so profound and useful, I would say, because like what you're describing, I see it also happening with my students in their study when they study communications, when they have group work. There's a moment, you know it's gonna come. I mean, you wish it doesn't and you have good hopes. I love it. And there's many students, but there will be a moment. And then it sounds like such a wonderful, I don't know if you can call it tool or quality that they brought to you to unleash. And I'm wondering, so what now? How do you take what you've learned there? How is it landing for you in your professional life? Because that's in school and that's in university. So how does that relate to you becoming being a professional? How does it land with you?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question that I ask myself all the time, how I'm gonna put that in my work,
Yeah.
where I think one first thing I have is the legitimacy. Because I'm young, I'm gonna be a junior, I'm highly adaptable, so I think people expect me to blend to the culture and just adapt, etc. And then I don't know what's happening in my mind. There's kind of this. At some point, you get older, you're in a manager position, and then you can do whatever and check as you did, like the 3 minutes for coherent breathing at the beginning of the meeting. Ask everybody to just move around before we start and find solution to solve this boring Zoom meeting with no creativity and no engagement. But there's still this legitimacy that's holding me back a bit. And also we've received this education, and now, as you say, it's our turn to how do I on my own bringing to the my workplace. Yeah, so it's tough, and it's also not something I found people, it's kind of, oh, I think I'm scared of being, oh, it's a bit weird. Oh, you want to do the cardiac coherence? And even because I also see that people resonate with it, even if they never practice, I tell them about it. They're interesting. There's something that they, this like sense of presence in their body, it connects. And some people, they don't really see what I'm talking about. They don't. And it's fine. And it's fine, but then how do you, because it can also be a practice. I know in my family, I've tried sometimes. They are my experimental group, and we were in a funeral, so it was kind of a tough moment. And these tools are kind of useful, and it's also a moment quite interesting pe because people are emotionally lost, and so
Yeah.
they're more open to this. They don't know how to deal with their emotions. And so we were the young group, so there's no age legitimacy. And I asked them to hold hands all together and kind of didn't, I don't remember what I asked them to say, but just something. And we were holding hands and something was really happening. And then one of my sisters, she is not so comfortable with touching people she doesn't know with her body, and so she's like, I don't want to, I don't know these people, I don't want to. And she felt really, she had a very strong sense of rejection of this. And so how do you ensure, yeah, so I guess I'm like, how do you ensure people feel you don't want this to happen when you're in a group? I mean, you want everybody to be willing to try and feel comfortable. And so how do you ensure that people that don't have this bodily connection and easiness accept it, want to try it and feel comfortable? And I think that's what was done amazingly in the Empro Engineering class, is that during the year, people that started a bit reluctant to the exercises, asking tons of questions whenever an intervenant was coming.
Escaping in the
And then you see them slowly and slowly not asking any question. And at the end, I remember one amazing intervenant, Alexandra, she asked McDonald, I think she asked us to take a walk with your pelvis. And nobody asked a single question. Everybody was like, of course, taking a walk with my pelvis, done. And I was like, this is amazing. This is what I was looking for all that year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Gosh, this is wonderful reflection I hear from you, Marguerite. It sounds like, so you started off with this search for agency. That's what I heard, as in, and you know it for yourself because you feel it to be true, embodiment.
Yeah.
You know there's this wisdom to tap into, but then where's the exit in with others? Well, that's actually why I'm doing this podcast, because there's so many levels in, so interesting. And it sounds like you're also putting that into just in natural practice, which sounds, I really had tears in my eyes and was holding my heart when you shared like the moment of the funeral, where you just in the moment felt the freedom and the trust to hold hands together and to guide that group of intimate people, because actually that is the hardest place sometimes in family, because they're the closest to you, to hold hands. And that was really moving. And I think what the question I heard you ask was like, how do you get everyone to come on board? Well, maybe not everyone needs to come on board. I would say, as in from an embodied perspective, if somebody feels a resistance, it sounds like in this program, you can also help them, okay, work with that resistance first, because then there's a layer to peel off and that is their way in. Because I think it's beautiful what you pointed out. Like everybody has their own level of being in their bodies and meeting the other where they are. And I think that is the question. And that is, that's the quality of an embodied educator, which it sounds like you're growing in capacity so much over this course, that your quality is to meet the other where he or she is or where they are and to work from there. And it sounds like you're doing that on a very subtle level. So that's so cool. I don't know if the listener is still on board with us, but yeah. So let me see. There's a couple of things that I still have swirling around in my mind. One is the reflective diaries. So that was one of the tools to work yourself through this embodied process in the course as a student, a participant. So how did that work for you, this reflective diary? And in what way did you work in it?
So the reflective diary, the goal is that close to the end of the session, like the next day or even the evening of it, you write, and it's very, they told us to have this very automatic writing, not to reflect, not to reread, just really put what you feel. And it was really the goal. I was already quite used to that kind of writing. There's a book called Libérez Votre Créativité, and I will translate it as Free Your Creativity by Lisa Cameron, I think.
It's the art of artist way, with the morning pages.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. The artist way. And so I've been writing my morning pages for 3 or 4 years now. And so it kind of reminded me of this kind of writing where you wake up and you just write and then some magic things happen.
What does it do for you when you do that? Can you describe that just in a short sentence?
Make me take action. I'm a very cerebral person, so helps me take action.
Nice.
And the reflexive diaries, I could really feel the difference between when the session highly resonates with me, then I'm writing and it's passionate and it's 30 minutes and it's not a trance, but there's this very, it flows. And Other times when either I took too long after the session to write it, or the session was less intense for me for any reason. But even then, it was a great way to see your progress. And also, there was one time I didn't really connect with the session. And then I took at the with writing these diaries, I reflected and it was like, okay, next time I'm gonna walk to the Arsenic, the theater where we have this class, which was 1 hour away from by walk from our uni, to take the time to digest and connect with my body and free my mind. And then the session went amazing. So it's all also a way to take more at each session, to know where you're at and what you want to get, and open.
Nice. Such a beautiful link. At the final performance, they told me that there was also an interaction with the audience, because the audience also becomes they're the observer, but they're also the participant in a way in this improvisation setting. How was that to receive that kind of input on an experiential level? How was that?
For me, it was really comfortable and quite of a chance to have people to show it to, and challenging also, but in a very positive way. And the people, the observer really helps you. During our session, we always split into groups. Some people are observing, some people are performing. And as an observer, you have a very active work to do. So the audience were not part of a group, so maybe they're less trained, as we could say, but since they're friends or professional invited for the jury, they're really attentive and brings you energy. And also there's this, it's nice to have a final performance. It's kind of an exam, a like exam in a way, because you prepare yourself. You have this, it's now or never. So you really have to arrive in the best position with your body, make the extra effort to arrive with your flow, you're well with yourself, and then you give it all. And I think having the audience really, gives you a reason you want to work for these people. But since I'm kind of the only student here, I'm going to tell the other, some people thought it was really hard and challenging, and not challenging, but didn't understand why we had to perform it in front of an audience. They did not enjoy it. And since we work in this closed group during all that year, they found it was too much of a gap, or it was too a switch. And during our last session, we discussed it with the professors as well. And they mentioned maybe making some public come during our pre-session to make it smoother. Or even, is it needed to have a public performance at the end? So kind of all of this question, I can't talk much for these people because don't know what was their blockage was. But for me, it was also a way to show. Simon always say that it's hard to put in words, and he's been trying to do that for several years. But to show to people, it's, I mean, all of my friends know I was doing this class. All of my family, they know it was my favorite class, but they didn't have any idea of what I was doing. They thought I was doing match improv. And so the first thing I say was like, we're not talking. And they're like, oh, what are you doing? And then you show them, and they can, and once, so not all the people, but some friends really understand, or are like, we're sensitive. They saw some beauty, some amazement. One friend told me like she was very touched by the fact that all of us seem so connected to our bodies and connected between each other. And It makes it real if you can connect it. It makes it real. Yeah.
Especially when the other can see, then it must be happening, because otherwise I don't believe it is truly happening. So let me ask you this question, because it's on the slip of my tongue already a couple of times. How does it feel to be in your body? What does that bring you? How is it to be in your body?
It's amazing. And every time I'm like, how is it that I'm only in my body for 3 hours per week? What am I missing on? Because there's this intense presence, emotions, situations seems clearer, more creativity, more there's more love for the others. There's no, when people say there's no judgment and we really create the safe environment, it's not that you're not saying any judgment. It's that as more you practice, you don't have any judgment in your head. You're just like, it's amazing. You work on this very, and it's kind of this positive flow of, okay, this positive thinking. Especially as French people, we tend to, okay, great, but focus on the negative. This is not working. And kind of switching it, having a lot of empathy for the others, having a lot of connection. And I really built true and amazing friendship there. And I think that's the body connection is a big part of it. And this intimacy, you're more open. I don't know, it's amazing. I don't understand how I'm not
So cool.
in my body at least 1 hour per day.
When you said it's a switch, it's to switch also. I was back on on the cue they gave you, like the
Yes.
switch of energy that you got from the teacher, actually. It's like this explanation brought me back to that image, like it's almost creating this connection in this conversation. So what I'd also like to know, as in normal courses, right? What we're used to, how we often set our classrooms up is with a teacher in front or walking around the room. You work a little bit in groups and you sit and you maybe sometimes get up and active. That builds a certain relationship between peers, students, and the teacher. This classroom is very different with improvisation. And I know Simon told me he's like also sometimes a part of the student, a part of the group, and then this switch. How was your relationship with the teachers, and was it different from other courses? And especially, does that have a different impact on you as students? What did you notice anything about that?
There is a in the relationship, you know, they don't hold the truth. Don't in the traditional classroom, you have the teacher, they ask a question, there is a right answer. And in the improv, there's never this sense of right answer. They valorize a lot our expression and what we say. So it's the they talk very little. It's a bit curious at the beginning. Joël and Simon don't talk a lot. They let us discuss our impression, and then they give us a bit of guidance. But it's really this path you have to take for yourself. And I think maybe that's what's different every it's there is still this I would say this really I could still see them as teachers because there is still this sense of admiration or like, oh, I want they're so good at it. So like you can have in traditional classroom. I would say the difference is more between your peers. In traditional classroom, kind of your peers don't really, they're your friends, you make fun with them, but they're not here to support your learning. They don't have anything to teach you, or you don't have anything to learn from them. Maybe I have very classical views, but this is my experience. In this improv, the teachers are there, but you learn. But everything that's happening is because of the group altogether. And so there's a sense, and yeah, no, that's true. There's a sense of belonging, and also what I was saying, legitimacy, taking initiatives seems more natural. It's kind of, you do whatever you can do. It's your course. You can improve it with your idea as much as you want. They're open to our feedbacks a lot. So it's your responsibility to make it the best for you. And so, yeah, so I will say this is highly different from traditional classroom, when you take, and then you take from the teacher, receive it, and then it just disappears. I don't think I have a lot of mathematical knowledge even after all these years. And the desire to, yeah, it makes you want to be more autonomous in your practice. This sense of belonging. Yeah. No, okay. This is, you're part of the class, and so you're responsible for your learning, and you also, but also this responsibility also makes that everything that you're learning is yours profoundly. And I don't think I will forget anything that I've learned. And also this big question of being autonomous with this kind of practice. And Simon always say that I want to make you teacher of this. I want to spread it as much as possible. And I think the class and the setting of the teacher in the middle and doing the exercises with you and making us start our own sessions, we are responsible for teaching. Yeah, makes you accountable, responsible, and feel that you have something to transmit as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it kind of changes a lot.
Sounds like, yeah. Very nice. On such deeper and profound levels. And of course, it's well thought about from the whole team who set it up. Yeah. I think we're going towards the end and having a close. So I'm wondering, what is it that this all brought you? Because basically the audience that you speak to now in this podcast is teachers, is educators, is lecturers. What thing did you really enjoy that you think, you know, from having that experience of the other classrooms you spoke about, that all the other teachers that haven't heard about this work, you know, what is the one tip from your student, just, you know, being a participant perspective, that you would like to give them to find that pleasure with the body? Because it sounds like you enjoy it so much and it really brings you alive when I hear from this. So, yeah, what would you give to the other teachers?
I would say that I hope teachers learn also from the students, but I hear that often. And if they want to hear something interesting, original, singular, specific, the body is a path for the students to express really themselves and bring their originality, be more creative, something surprising. If they want to be a surprise, they have to, by their students, they have to make it embodied.
Sounds, when you say that, like there's a gift.
Yeah.
Not for the teachers as there is for the student. That's the feeling and the image that connects it when you said that, which was really like, right, you're hitting me right in the heart, that unwrapping. And where you can also maybe just be the observer yourself as a teacher. That's what I hear back from what you said. Sounds exactly. Very, very cool. Yeah. Thank you. I hope lots of teachers listen to this. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So is there anything more you would like to add to what we spoke about the improgeneering, the impact, engineering, being an engineer, but also having this profound body knowledge. Needs to circle around. What do you think?
Yeah, I would. I'm gonna wish all the make yourself legitimate to try this and confidence, and it works. It works. So yeah. So don't wait for legitimacy or validation. Just try it. Yeah.
Cool, nice. Thank you so much, Marguerite. And just as I do with every guest, so I also do that with you. If anybody wants to reach out and thinks, this amazing lady, I want to talk to her more. She's so wise already after finishing her studies and this wonderful course. How can they find you, reach you? Where do you want to speak to?
They can find me on LinkedIn, and maybe I can give you my email. I quite like emails, so because I'm not
Cool.
working yet, so I still enjoy emails. Yep. Yeah.
Wonderful. All right. And then I thank you very
Yes.
much for making the time, taking the effort to share all this impact of Improgineering with all the listeners. And I wish you a great, great day in Paris during the Olympic time.
Thank you so much for making for training all this making more babies in progeneering appear.
Yay! Very welcome. All right. Thank you.
Deep bow for you for making it till the end. Share this interview with a fellow educator who can use some embodied sparks in their classroom. And don't forget to subscribe in your favorite podcast channel to stay updated on new interview releases and more information on the Embodied Educator Dojo in the Embodied Educator Academy coming soon.